Bela was introduced to the banjo at a young age by the same tune that gave many of us our first taste of banjo music.
The first thing I heard was when I was maybe 5 years old. I'm not exactly sure how old I was. I heard the Beverly Hillbillies theme, and I was in New York City where I grew up. I was actually in Queens visiting my grandparents, and I heard this sound coming across the TV that just sort of shook me up. And I didn't know what it was, but I always remembered it from then on. And then gradually I became aware of banjos. You know, if I ever saw one, I was sort of curious about it. And then Dueling Banjos came out when I was, I think, 13 or 14. And that was, once again, it was like, wow, I just love that. But I never thought I could ever play it. I mean, it seemed like a crazy thing that anybody could even play that instrument. But I always would sort of go into some kind of state of shock whenever I heard it. And then my grandfather bought one for me. And he didn't even know that I was, as quietly infatuated with the banjo. Nobody really knew about it. He knew I played some guitar because my mother had a guitar in the house, and that was the closest I could get. So I played some folk guitar. And so he saw a banjo at a garage sale, and he thought, oh, Bela plays guitar. Maybe he'd like this. This is sort of like a guitar, right? And he showed up with it when I was 15, the weekend before high school started. I went up to visit him in upstate New York, and he was just sitting there. He said, hey, I found this for you. And I just couldn't believe it. It just had fallen into my lap. And I just tried to play it, and it was all out of tune. And then when we took the train home back to the city, there was a guy on the train who saw the banjo and said, oh, I played the banjo. You want me to tune that up for you? And he tuned it up for me and showed me a couple of phrases. Probably the very day that my grandfather gave it to me, or maybe the next day. And that got me going.
Over the years, he spent a lot of time studying the man behind the ballad of Jed Clampett, the late Earl Scruggs.
Oh, I studied him like a hawk. I mean, I have to say, I started out studying some Earl Scruggs and being interested, and then I quickly got wooed by the modern players, the people that played more fancy, crazy stuff. But everybody who really knew that Earl Scruggs had the most profound effect on banjo playing, and if you really wanted to be a good banjo player, you had to study him. So after a few years, I went into a deep Earl Scruggs mode and studied not only all of his recordings, but every radio show I could get my hands on, in which he played all these songs differently every time. And he got a sound out of the banjo, and he had a rhythmic propulsion that sort of make the question of who started the three-finger style irrelevant, because he was the greatest musician, to ever pick up the banjo. And in other people's hands, I don't think the three-finger style would have had the same impact. So there's always arguments in the banjo community. Oh, this guy did three-finger before Earl. It doesn't matter, because the kind of musician he was really what made the difference. And then I got to know him mostly in the last 10 years or so. We live about a mile apart, and I'd go see him and visit and play with him. And at first he was sort of not sure what to make of me, and I was always very careful not to play that much crazy stuff. But as time went on, I realized he really got a kick out of it. So I would just try, I just play crazy stuff, and he'd just laugh, and we'd just have a great time playing.
He eventually got to play with Earl Scruggs, including a show a few years ago at Benaroya Hall, in which Scruggs kept throwing the solos Bela's way.
Yeah, he definitely was never competitive. He was always supportive, and every time I've ever been to a picking party at Earl's house, he made sure that every single person in the circle got the same amount of time, and he was always appreciative of what everybody did. Obviously, I have a lot of techniques and abilities, that were different for him. He could have taken that a lot of ways, including saying, well, that's not the way you play the banjo, but he never did, and that meant a lot to me.
Now, Bela's known for adjusting his technique to fit the music, something he says comes simply by feel.
And like when you're playing jazz, there's a word swing. It's a certain timing that jazz has, and when it's really strong, there's a real dance and a pull between the soloist and the rhythm section. Sometimes it's super together, sometimes it's way different. The solos could be leading or dragging, and that's not something that banjo players are taught how to do. So if I'm playing classical music, for instance, it has a particular swing to it that you wouldn't call swing, but when it feels right, it feels right, and sometimes it's a very stiff, cool stiffness. Bluegrass has a swing, and also we don't call it swing, but a certain bounce. And, all of those three kinds of music are, you could play a phrase at the same tempo of 16th notes, and they'd all sound quite different because of the rhythmic approach you would bring to it. So sometimes there's the technique, because there's different ways to play the banjo. They all come in handy for different things.
Bela tells me he's been very lucky to have had a number of musical heroes with whom he's then had the chance to play.
And one of the big ones for me was Chick Corea. But before that, when I came up and I finally got to play with people like Sam Bush and Jerry Douglas and Ricky Skaggs and David Grisman. I mean, these people were the next generation up, and they were all superstars, and I was a banjo player coming up. So on the bluegrass side, it was folks like that. On the jazz side, I think it would have to be Chick Corea, because I was listening to him all through the 70s while I was learning to play the banjo, and his band Return to Forever was a big deal for me, and we did a lot of duet concerts together and made an album together. And it was just a really special, and one of those sort of father-son kind of things where, you know, if anything, he's one of those guys who's inspiring not because of what he plays, but because he's so involved with so many different musicians and plays so many different kinds of music and is always stretching and finding challenges for himself, and yet somehow always keeping that thing that makes him Chick Corea that those of us who love him love. So he's inspiring as a role model in a lot of ways, and also actually musical. The notes that he plays have always been fascinating to me because he's more of a short burst guy. He has all these interesting rhythms, but they really translate well to the banjo in the way I think. So I think he could feel that in my playing, that I was very indebted to him. We had a great, great time playing. And we're doing some more of that later in next year.
And he says there are a number of musicians he'd still like the chance to play with.
But I'm not going to name names, but yeah, there are. There's a lot of jazz musicians. There's a lot of musicians from different parts of the world, and classical musicians, too. And I mean, lately I've been putting a lot of energy into composing. I did a banjo concerto last year, and we recorded it with a great symphony in Nashville. And then right now I'm writing a piece for banjo and string quartet. So I'm starting to sort of work at this idea of the banjo as an instrument that interacts with classical musicians. But you need repertoire, because it doesn't exist. And if you try to just do repertoire that is for other instruments, it's not really perfect for the banjo. It can be okay. But so I just thought it's time to start putting some energy into seeing what I could come up with in that area. And so that's not so much about like finding guys to play with that I always wanted to play with. It's more about playing with forms.
Vela's ability to adjust to any style is something he applied to the new album with the Marcus Roberts Trio, Across the Imaginary Divide, which started with an introduction.
I've been a fan of Marcus for a long time. I guess mid-80s when I heard him first playing with Wynton Marsalis. And he was just shockingly interesting and wonderful piano player. And years later, I was playing at the Savannah Music Festival, and I saw he was playing there, and I told the promoter I was a big fan, and he introduced us, and I was surprised that Marcus was aware of me and kind of open to what I did. And we ended up at a jam session later that night. We ended up playing, but it ended up being kind of incredible, and it just spurred us into thinking maybe we would try to do something together.
So they played a couple of shows together and then decided to work on the album.
I was a proponent of the idea that this should be all new music, and Marcus said he didn't think he would have time to write anything new, but then at the last minute he did. He showed up with these great tunes that are really special but also quite complicated, and I was a little bit afraid he might show up with some complicated tunes near the end, but he did, and I had to bust my butt to learn them and play them. The team is Rodney Jordan on bass and Jason Marsalis on drums, and they're both fantastic musicians. They're a very big part of the music as well.
If you can't make it to see Bela Fleck and the Marcus Roberts Trio this week, I highly recommend the documentary film Throw Down Your Heart, in which he travels to Africa to get a sense of banjo's roots. It's also a really good example of how he can sit down with anyone and make magic with the strings. Ryan Harris, Como News Radio.